Don't be misled by the scripture reading in the bulletin. It's actually a little bit different than that this morning. So if you have your Bible with you, would you open it up to Acts chapter 2? Dave will be speaking this morning from Acts chapter 2. And for scripture reading, we will read together verses 41 through 47. Acts chapter 2, verses 41 through 47. So read along with me. It says, "So then, those who had received his word were baptized, and that day there were added about 3,000 souls. They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. And all those who had believed were together and had all things in common. And they began selling their property and possessions and were sharing them with all, as anyone might have need. Day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord was adding to their number, day by day, those who were being saved." Let's go to prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I just thank you for this beautiful morning, Lord, that we've had. And Lord, as we're learning in Sunday school, there's nothing new under the sun. Lord, I just pray that, Lord, there would be something new that you teach us this morning through your word, through Dave's message, Lord. I pray that, yes, you know all things, Lord, and I just pray that, Lord, through our fellowship, through our singing praises to your name, through the study of your word, Father, I just pray that you would teach us, Lord, to become more like you, having patience with one another, love for one another, Lord, and ultimately, Lord, just be a fellowship, a body of believers that brings you honor and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Well, first of all, I have to apologize for everything that is wrong in the bulletin. Shirley came up to me at break time, and she was excited about the Hosea passage and telling me that she had already pre-read it and was looking forward to learning about what I had to say in Hosea. Yesterday afternoon at about 1 o'clock, as I was struggling to get this message on paper, I had been working on this Hosea passage for a week or longer. I had read the passage in my devotions, and I went, this is what I'm going to preach on. And I worked on it, and I worked on it right up until Saturday afternoon and went, this just isn't working. I'd already given the information to Shirley for the bulletin. Christy had picked songs based on that passage and what I said I was going to be speaking on. And it wouldn't work. I tried and I tried and I rearranged and I organized and I pondered and I thought and I studied, and I could not put it on paper. I did. I prayed about it. And so I went to the computer and I went, I have 100 of so messages saved somewhere. I will find one. So I dug up an old message and it's one of those things where I believe God was just working perfectly, because everything, as I reworked it for a few minutes, everything fell into place. And it was the easiest time I've had just putting something together so short notice. I had lots of notice. It was last minute. I did not procrastinate. I believe the Lord just is saving that Hosea passage for another time. But yeah, maybe Craig will do it sometime. anyway, we're going to just kind of flip through a couple of different passages here, mostly around 1 Corinthians. If you want to kind of keep your finger in 1 Corinthians, we'll spend most of the time there. This afternoon, right after church, Christy and I are going to be heading back to Canada. We're going on a nice little extended vacation. And often when we're driving, we will pull this book out of our glove box. It's the Book of Questions, and it's kind of an entertaining book. There's a lot of questions in there that we read, and then we go, we're just not going to answer that one. But there's some that actually really get you thinking. It puts you in a scenario, and it's a book of questions. And what would you do if, or how do you think about that? Or anyway, here's a couple of questions. The first one is, if you were at a friend's house for Thanksgiving dinner and found a dead cockroach in the salad, what would you do?
I wouldn't eat it.
What if it was alive? Anyway, do you not be rude, or do you just dish it out and move on? Or do you tell everybody at the expense of maybe the host feeling or the hostess? Anyway, what do you do? If your home were on fire, your family, everybody's out of the house, everybody's safe, and you could go into your home and retrieve one thing without harm, what would you retrieve? I know exactly what I'd retrieve. I have our office set right beside a window. There's a computer there. And just on top of the desk beside the window, there's an external hard drive. It has everything on it, pictures, papers, videos, everything that we would ever want. I don't even have to go in the house. I can break the window, grab the hard drive, and be gone. I've already thought that one through. If you were to die this evening with no opportunity to communicate with anyone, what would you most regret not having told somebody? Why haven't you told them? All sorts of interesting questions found in this little book here, and it gets you thinking. This morning, we're going to answer a question that you may not be asking. For Christians, it may be the single most important question that we should ask, but I don't think we really are. As a church, I don't think this question really is addressed, and I don't think we're asking it. The world has a similar question that they ask, and their question is, what is the meaning of life? And they go to all sorts of extents trying to answer that question. What is the meaning of life? Well, I believe for the church, the question that we should be asking is, what is the purpose of church? What is the purpose of church? What is our purpose? Why are we here? What are we doing? Why do we gather together every Sunday, at sometimes more? Why do we do this? What is the purpose of church? I'm going to see if I can get this to work here. What is the purpose of church? If I were to ask you, well, first of all, let me just define a couple of things quickly. When we're talking about the church, we're going to look through these verses and whatnot here, and we're going to look at the universal church, we're going to look at the local church, and then we're going to look at the individual person within the church. The universal church is every believer that has ever lived through all of time from Pentecost to the rapture. So the church is going to go into the future a little bit. Yep, still going. All the way from Pentecost to the rapture. So when I talk about the universal church, it's every single believer from Pentecost to the rapture. When we speak of the local church, and often when we talk, you know, I'm going to church, or the church is getting together, we're referring to the local church. And the local church is us, here today, gathered together, a local group of believers that meet in a community. So the local church today is, for us right now, River Valley Bible Church. And then obviously the individual person in the local church is us here today individually. And the reason why I'm going to start with the universal church and work my way down to the individual person is because I want to start big as we look at what is the purpose of church and make it very, very personal. A little personal to our community and then personal to where you're at right now. So if I were to ask you the question, what is the purpose of church? Why do we do this?
To reinforce our faith.
To reinforce our faith. Well, here's some answers. Bobby? So is it to present the gospel to the lost? Is it to have an opportunity for regular worship and instruction? To bring hope to the hurting? There we go. Maybe just keep up with me. To bring hope to the hurting, to be a lighthouse in the community, to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, to send the gospel around the world through missionary efforts, to pray, to build up the saints, to teach the word of God with a view to holy living. What is the purpose of the church? Yes. And I was going to say, if you see the purpose in here, it might not be exactly how you would have worded it, but is this the purpose of the church? It's kind of a trick question, and I'm kind of leading you into this, which isn't necessarily fair, but if you'll click that one more time, Bobby, I want to read a verse that I think gives us the primary purpose of the church. And I think this is where what we're going to focus on this morning. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And we're going to see this through other passages as well. The word church is not used in this verse, but it's applied to each individual believer. And this is our purpose. And it's very simple. The purpose of the church is verse 31 in chapter 10 of 1 Corinthians. Whether then you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Click it one more time. Our purpose can be summed up with this phrase, to glorify God. That's it. That's all. Put a period behind it. All of those other things on that long list that I gave you, and we could make that list longer and longer, all of those things can be done, and God might not be glorified in them. We might start doing them in our human effort. We might do them with wrong motives or whatnot. And so all of those things that are there can be done in and of ourselves often and not to the glory of God. And so when it comes to the very simple, purest definition of what is the purpose of the church, it is to glorify God. And I think it's just as simple as that. We get caught up in the secondary things. I think all of those things we listed off are objectives of the church. It's things that we are to be doing. It's things that the church can participate in, but it's not the primary purpose of the church. The primary purpose is to glorify God. Programs can bring glory to God. Numbers and growth can bring glory to God. Buildings can bring glory to God. Preaching can bring glory to God. Missions, evangelism, music, can all bring glory to God, but when we take our eyes off of God and put them on programs, put them on good works, put them on all of these other things that the church might be involved in, when we take our eyes off of God and put them on those programs, God is no longer glorified or may not be glorified in them. If we believe that the church's purpose is to evangelize, then what happens when there are no unbelievers in church? Did we do something wrong? Is God not blessing our church because there's no one here to evangelize? Now we can go out and evangelize. But do we need to do more? Do we need to do different things? How can we, you can see how we could get caught up in the, if our purpose is to evangelize, we can get caught up and focused on that too much and kind of lose sight of our purpose is to glorify God. If our purpose is people and programs and not on God's glory, that either we get critical of people and programs when they don't do things the way we think they should be done, or worse, we may think that we had something to do with it. And we think we are part of the reason why it's successful, if it is. And again, the focus becomes on us or other people, and the focus is off of God and His glory. Let's take a look at the word glory for just a second here. There's three different ways that the word glory is used in Scripture. First, in Exodus chapter 40, when we see that the nation of Israel had built their tabernacle. They had it up, and the glory of the Lord entered into the Holy of Holies and rested upon the Ark of the Covenant there. And so we see that word glory in Exodus chapter 40, and it's the word light. It's the glory, it's His light, His presence. This glory of the Lord was so powerful that if you entered into the glory of the Lord in an unworthy manner, and pretty much any time you entered into His presence, in that Holy of Holies was unworthy. There was one time a year when one person, after they did all of the right things, were allowed into God's glory. And if they went into that room in an unworthy way, they died. It was just they weren't allowed in his glory there. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 39 through 41, we see that celestial bodies, the stars, the moon, the sun, all of that has a glory of their own. But again, this is not the glory that we are looking at today. Mark in Sunday school mentioned just how neat it is to lay down on a night, a dark, starry night, and to be able to look at all of the stars and the glory that is there. And each one has their own glory. It's neat if you get into astronomy a little bit and look at the different stars. And each star has its own glory, its own amazement. And when those telescopes that can pull the stars in really close for us and we can see what they really look like. Each one is unique and different, and it's amazing. But that's not the glory that we're looking at this morning. The glory that we're talking about this morning is to magnify, exalt, and elevate, to shed radiance or splendor on another. We are to magnify, exalt, and elevate our Lord God. So the question is, how do we elevate God? How do we elevate one who is already elevated to the highest? How do we exalt one? How do we magnify one who is perfectly magnificent? I think in John chapter 3, John the Baptist said it best. Let me read John chapter 3, verse 30. John the Baptist says, "He must increase, but I must decrease." The way we increase God, or the way that we can elevate him, isn't to lift him up, because obviously he is as high as he can be, but we pull ourselves down, or we pull ourselves out of the picture. And this isn't a false humility kind of pull ourselves down. It's not a poor, poor, pitiful me kind of self-pity pull ourselves out of the picture. This is an honest, humble, stepping aside so that God can receive all of the glory. And when we just kind of step out of the way and let God receive it all, God is glorified. He is lifted up. He is elevated. And we can do that in all sorts of ways. We can do it, whether it's Mark in Sunday school teaching and stepping out of the way and letting God be glorified through his teaching, as Pastor Craig teaches, as the music team worships and sings songs. They can step back and just say, you know what, we're stepping out of the picture. God is using us, but it's not about us. It's about God being glorified. It's about God being worshipped. And that's how we can elevate him, not by lifting him up literally, but by pulling ourselves out of the picture so that all of the attention is given towards God. He is glorified, or he is the one that the focus is on. And so as we look at the universal church, the purpose of the universal church is to glorify God. And that's whether it's in Russia, China, Brazil, or right here in the U.S., whatever we do, do all to the glory of God. The purpose of the local church, is there a difference? Is there a difference, the local church's purpose versus the universal church's purpose? I see the head shaking no, which is the right answer. There is no difference. The purpose is still exactly the same. The only difference is I just want to make it a little more personal. Instead of thinking of the church around the world, let's focus in on River Valley Bible Church this morning. Is River Valley Bible Church this morning glorifying God? Does River Valley Bible Church glorify God weekly in this little community here in Mesquite? Romans chapter 15. In looking at glorifying God as a body of believers, there's a passage here on unity. Romans chapter 15, verses 5 through 6. "Now may the God who gives perseverance and encouragement grant you to be of the same mind with one another according to Christ Jesus, so that with one accord you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of your Lord Jesus Christ." Whatever you do, do all to the glory of God, and do it in unity. Do it together as a local body of believers. So often we hear, and the community will make reference to church splits, or you know, look at your guys' churches. You're constantly splitting and dividing, and there's no unity in the church. And when you look back and see church division and church splits, I don't know. I can't think of one that I've seen recently that had anything to do with doctrine. It all has to do with things that the outside world would kind of look at and see, well, that's kind of petty. We always use the color of the carpet. You know, they split over the color of the carpet. And it's maybe not quite that simple, but what it is people start having their own ideas and their own opinions. And we are all different. We all are going to disagree with each other at times. The only person that I agree with 100% is my wife, and she has a look of disagreement right now. We disagree with we are individuals. We're not expected to live in this perfect little bubble where we all think exactly the same way and exactly perfectly with each other. We're unique, and that's what makes the body of Christ work perfectly, is because we all can add and contribute. What goes wrong is when I start elevating my opinion over other people's opinions and start saying, you know, it has to be my way because it's the right way. And when I start elevating my opinion, well, when my opinion doesn't get accepted, then I get angry and I get frustrated. And then I go find my little group of people that like my color of carpet versus their color of carpet. And we start talking about how, you know, ours is better. And you can see how it can build when we elevate ourselves and we start putting the whole picture on us and our opinion. We start getting these little groups of people that start getting divided. Disagreement is a normal thing. It's a part of life. But when we can step back and say, you know what, this is a great time. Other people have their ideas. The group said this is the best direction to go, and so we're going to go with it, and I'm going to champion this idea wholeheartedly. And I'm going to support the church, and I'm going to be a part of it, and we can work together in unity. When we see that, when groups of people that disagree with each other come together in unity, God is glorified. Because there's no other way that can happen except through God. So we need to ask ourselves with the local church in Mesquite here, is God being glorified at River Valley this morning? Is God being glorified in the preaching? Is God being glorified in the music? Is God being glorified in the programs? And we could go on and on with all the different things that we have going on, all the different things that happen within the church, nursery and Sunday school and adult Sunday school and the music and Wednesday night. Just our list is endless of things that we can participate and be involved in. Is God being glorified in those? Because if he's not, we should stop. We should stop the program and rethink it and make sure that whatever we are doing, God is being glorified in it. Whatever, the verse says, whatever you do, we need to glorify God in it. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I want to take us just a little bit more personal now and move us to the individual person. The purpose of the universal church is to glorify God. The purpose of the local church is to glorify God. And the purpose of the individual is to glorify God. Look at chapter 6, verse 19. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own? For you have been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. Pretty much sums it up. We need to glorify God. We need to glorify God in everything. So I have to ask the question. The answer to the question is easy when we're dealing with millions and millions of people in the universal church. And the question's a little bit easier or a little bit harder, but not too bad when we start talking about us here and we ask, you know, is River Valley Bible Church glorifying God? And I think we can answer that question, but now we have to go inward and look at ourselves and ask the question, is Dave glorifying God in everything that I do? Not just on Sundays, not just at home, but when I'm driving down the road, I'm excited to go on this vacation that we're leaving for this afternoon. I was sharing with Mitch the other day. I am usually the root of all stress on vacations, especially when we're driving. I am goal orientated, and I know which hotel I want to be at what hour I want to be there, and I've got it laid out. We've got our gas stops, and we've got our lunch stops, and then we need to be there. Potty stops don't fit into that unless they're at the gas stop or the lunch stop. And so I am looking forward to a different kind of trip. I have scheduled this one. We're going to just stop when we stop, and we'll see how far we get down the road, and I'm going to try and have this a stress-free trip because I know that when I get so focused on getting to somewhere, by the time we're somewhere, I know I'm not glorifying God anymore. And I've probably interfered in my family's glorifying God because of the stress that I have placed on the whole trip. And so we're looking forward to a different kind of trip. Mitch said he's going to text me in the morning to make sure it's stress-free. Hold me accountable to that. But are we glorifying God in everything, every part of our lives? Every single little moment of our life, is God being glorified? Was God glorified last week in your life? How about yesterday? Was God glorified yesterday in your life? How about this morning as we're getting ready for church and trying to get everybody together and organized and all of that and get out the door and all of those things that seem to come up on a Sunday morning? Did we glorify God while we were getting ready for church this morning? The drive to church this morning, was God glorified? Do your thoughts glorify God? Do your words glorify God? Is God glorified at work, at school, with your spouse and family? Do you glorify God every minute of every day? Whether then you eat or drink or whatever you do. That's the key in there. Whatever you do. That encompasses everything. There's no way around that. Whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. The purpose of the church, whether universal, local, or individual, is to glorify God. Everything else is secondary. Everything else that we have, our objectives and that stuff, evangelism is important. God gave us the Great Commission. We are to go and evangelize and make disciples. That's something we are to do, but our purpose is to glorify God, because God will be glorified when we are evangelizing and we are stepping off to the side and letting God work. And when we evangelize and share the gospel with somebody, and somebody realizes that they are a slave to sin and they need a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and they can walk into eternity, God is glorified at that moment. That's an amazing moment. And when God says that angels start singing at moments like that, that's a neat time. Only God can save people. Only He's the only one. I can't save people. I can't save myself. And so when we step off to the side and we share the gospel with somebody and they believe it and they trust in Christ as their Savior, God is glorified. But we can evangelize when we're trying to take credit for it. There are times when we can kind of start putting notches on our belt and wondering, you know, look at how many people I shared the gospel with. Look at how many people were saved because of me and my sharing the gospel this last year. Often we fill out an annual report or a biannual report for our mission, and I really struggle with that question. How many people have you led to the Lord this year? And it's an attitude thing for me. I know why they're asking the question, because I had to ask them why they asked the question. And they're wanting to praise God because of salvations. And there is no looking down on somebody if they have to put a zero there this last year. They're not saying, you know, that they expect us every day, every minute, to a new person being saved. But they want to celebrate with us is why they ask the question. But I still struggle with it. I still feel like maybe they're notches on a belt for me. And we just have to step off to the side. Our Bible studies, ladies' luncheons, men's breakfast, Sunday schools, potlucks, are they important things for the church? And I would say yes. But why? Why are they important? It's because in fellowship and sitting around the table with believers and encouraging each other, God can be glorified. God should be glorified at that time. At the Bible studies, God should be glorified while we're studying His Word. In music, is that important? And music is. It's another opportunity for us to glorify God and to worship Him. Now, the question is can we do these ministries and God not be glorified? And unfortunately, the answer is also yes. When we start doing it with wrong motives and we start doing it for selfish reasons and we start doing it so that we can be elevated, this morning we had the little drum box there. It's the cajon is what they call it. And I got nervous picking the Sunday that Pastor Craig wasn't here to bring it in on Sunday mornings. And I'm like, we already talked to Pastor Craig. He knows that we didn't try and sneak it in on him. But as we were practicing, and as I'm learning, I'd often get one last beat in there after everybody else has stopped playing. And I just told him, I said, it's so that everybody sees me at the very end of the song. Just draws attention. And as funny as we say that and we laugh about that, I know that there are times when there are people who will do something like that, just a little thing, but it's so they can see me. And music is great. Music is awesome, and it's a great way to worship and glorify God. But if we change our attitude and we start doing it so that we elevate ourselves and draw attention to ourselves, we stop glorifying God in that. Christ, near the end of his ministry, he was in the garden praying. John chapter 17, you can go through and read that prayer. But Christ makes an amazing statement in that as we look at our lives and apply it to our lives. As he's praying to God in verse 4, as he's praying, he says, I glorified thee on earth. And he did it through the works that he did, but he glorified God. Jesus Christ on earth, his goal was to glorify God. What a powerful statement. The purpose of Jesus was to glorify God, and he accomplished that. God was glorified through his life and through his ministry and through his death and through his resurrection as well. Christ glorified his Father, and he accomplished it. God was glorified. So this morning I want to just leave us with a quick little thought. For the last couple of weeks, last month or so, life is starting to get crazy exciting around here. We are this close to sitting down and starting to talk about a building project. 14 and a half years in Mesquite, and I remember in the old days when I would go out and sit down with Dan, and we would draw up these like ridiculous offers on property. No business submitting an offer on a piece of property that we were submitting, but we believed God wanted us to build a building here in Mesquite. And so we would go make these offers, just believing that if God wanted us to have the property, he'd provide a way for us to have it. And most of the time they were turned down, but we got our property. And as we see the building fund growing and money that has been pledged to come in, I'm getting a little ahead of myself because it's still some of it's only pledged. But it is exciting. I'll come over here after work and stop in and visit Pastor Craig, and he'll sit down. He's got his little blueprints that he drew up the night before, and we'll sit down and we'll look, okay, here's where the kitchen's going to be, and here's the sanctuary, and it'll seat this many people, and we can fit it like this, and then we can take the church on the property and put it over here. These are exciting times for River Valley. But through all of this, my prayer is that we glorify God. Time has shown that often building projects can lead to some rough times in churches. And I think it's that same thing that I talked about. I know already that as we sit down and we talk about ideas, I have ideas of what I picture River Valley at. I have ideas of how I see the church sitting on the property. I have ideas of what the outside will look like. And I have ideas about how the sanctuary should look. The part that I am going to ask you to pray about for us as leadership and for you as a congregation, as that as each one of us has our own ideas about how it should look and how things go forward, that if they don't pick our idea, that we can just step back and praise God that things are going to happen. And I know that's going to be hard for me because I have ideas. And this has been a dream of mine for 14 and a half years. And so, but I want God to be glorified. I don't want a church on that property if God is not going to be glorified in it. I don't want a bigger sanctuary with more people if God is not going to be glorified in that bigger sanctuary with more people. I don't want more room for the music team if that's going to cause people to have division and conflict because we're trying to incorporate different things in different ways. If having more room and more people as part of the music is going to cause God not to be glorified, then I don't want it. And that's hard for me to say because I really, really want it. But I want God to be glorified more. That is our purpose. Music, Sunday school, preaching, prayer meetings, all of that stuff is second to God being glorified. And we're at exciting times. I get goosebumps as I think about it because we are so, so very close. And my dream is for us to be unified in it. As it said in Romans there, that we would be with one voice united, and that we will glorify God together in unity. And my Hosea message was going to be similar but different. We were still going to, I wanted to talk about, you know, how God has been blessing us, and that passage is about some of those things that talk about people forgetting about God in their time of blessing. And I pray that we will never forget about God as He has blessed us so richly. But first of all, our first priority is that God is glorified in this community, in your lives, in this world. It's a simple, simple statement: to God be the glory. And yet sometimes it's so hard to do. And that's where I would pray. I was reading a book called The Bride by Chuck Swindoll. And he said, maybe you need to get a couple of 3x5 cards and put one in your bathroom mirror, put one in the kitchen, put one in the dash of your car, put one in the closet, wherever you need to put it. And it just says, is God being glorified? Just a good reminder, is God being glorified? And that's my prayer for us, is that through River Valley Bible Church and our own lives, that God will be glorified. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that all you want us to do is to glorify you. And we can do all sorts of things, all sorts of programs and ministries and whatnot. But if you're not glorified in them, we should stop. And so I would ask that we would take time to evaluate our lives, take time to evaluate our ministries as a church, and the different programs and whatnot that we're involved in. Take time to evaluate our missionaries and those that are overseas and whatever's happening, Father, that everything that we do and everything that we support, make sure that you are being glorified in it. Help us with that. You have given us your Holy Spirit. Your Holy Spirit indwells in us as believers, and so we ask that you would just use him to give us the strength that we need so that every moment we can glorify you. And Father, when a thought comes to mind that's not glorifying to you, help us just put it out of our minds. When words almost get to the tongue, Father, help us to stop them before we say them if it's not a word that will bring glory to you. When our actions, whether it be simply driving down the freeway, if it's an action that is not glorifying to you, Father, help us to stop so that in everything we do, you are glorified. Just thank you again for this time to worship you. Thank you for the believers that have gathered together today to encourage each other and to be encouraged. And we just ask that you'd guide and direct in our week. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.